Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the City Council meeting, City of Arroyo Grande, for Tuesday, August 10th. Council just adjourned from closed session where we discussed labor issues and also personnel issues. We have no report out of closed session at this time. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Reynolds?
Here.
Councilmember Liggins?
Here.
Councilmember Costello?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Lubin?
Here.
And Mayor Chair Ferraro?
Here. Item number three is our flag salute, and this evening we have Kendra Kimlinger from the Rotary Club of Arroyo Grande, who will lead us in the flag salute, and if you will remain standing, our invocation this evening will be given by Pastor Robert Banker from the Open Door Church in Oceano.
Shall we pray? Our Father, we do give thanks unto you for this opportunity to pause and ask your blessing upon the meeting tonight. We have so much to be thankful for. We truly are blessed, and our weather has been so beautiful, and Father, we give thanks for that. And we do pray for our nation, especially for our young people, dear Lord, our young men and women, those of our own loved ones and family and neighbors and friends who are involved in the conflict in various parts of the world. And Father, we ask your watch care over them. And then we pray that you will give wisdom and guidance to the council tonight as they deliberate the issues that are before them. We realize that the decisions are not always easy. This we pray in the name of our Lord. Thank you again. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Kendra, we'd like to give you an opportunity. If you lead the flag salute, you do get an opportunity to tell us a little bit about Rotary and some of the things you've been up to these days.
Recently, we've got two big projects in the works. One is the Rotary Bandstand, which will be out in the park just across the way. And we're raising funds from local businesses as well as individuals. And the names of the donors will be put on bricks incorporated into the bandstand design. And there's a picture, sort of a basic artist rendition, and a pledge sheet available online at www.agrotary.org. So if anybody's interested, there's more information there. We also have an international project that's going very well. We've got a container load of wheelchairs. That's over 200 wheelchairs going to actually delivered into Hermosillo, Mexico, and that's delivered part has been a real big ordeal. We expected to have them in April, and we finally have them there now, so customs and all that. So about 10 members from our group here in Rio Grande are going to be going to help distribute chairs in
Kyle Perez. Gentlemen, come on up. In fact, why don't you come over here? That way everybody can see you looking straight on. These two fine young men in our community undertook a very challenging project for the Mid-State Fair, and it's my pleasure this evening to present to these two young men a mayor's commendation. It's the same commendation for both of them, and I want to present it to them first, and then I'd like to ask, I understand you had a sponsor, Mr. Bergman?
Oh, yeah.
Jim? Jim is also a member of our community development staff, and we're going to ask Jim to come up and maybe give some background as well. And I understand we have photos of that project. So let me go ahead with the commendation. This is a mayor's commendation presented to Kyle Perez for restoring a 1937 Farmall F-12 tractor owned by the South County Historical Society and winning the grand prize in the J.B. Dewar Tractor Restoration Contest, which was held at the 2004 Mid-State Fair. And I also have the same commendation for Mr. Paul Driggers. So, gentlemen, it's my pleasure to present this to you. And you've made our city very proud. And if you'd like to just maybe spend a few minutes and give us some background on what made you undertake this task and some of the problems you encountered and just a little bit about the whole project overall. And, Jim, feel free to come up, and if you want to provide some background, that would be helpful as well. But we would really like to see the pictures. So feel free to use the mic. That would be great.
Well, Kyle and I are both in Boy Scouts, and Mr. Bergman found that this 1937 Farmall F-12 tractor was being donated to the South County Historical Society, and he found out about the J.B. Duer tractor restoration competition, so he wanted to enter it, but he found that only high school-aged people can actually enter the contest, so he went to the owner of Ira's bike shop, and he knew that he's a scoutmaster, so he asked him if he could find a few young boys who would be willing to help him with this competition. So we were interested, and so we called him, and we started meeting and restoring a tractor. And it took us a few months. We put in total a couple hundred hours, and it took a lot of work, but we learned a lot, and it was fun. And we both have much more extensive knowledge of the internal combustion engine. And I'll let Kyle say a few things.
If it wasn't for Joe, we wouldn't have been this far. So yeah. Thanks a lot, Joe, for helping us with this. And Jim helped us trying to get this thing started, because if we didn't have the right thing starting, we wouldn't have been this far. So.
Say a few seconds worth. I've never been so embarrassed in my life, but it's very true. I wish I could have entered the contest, but...
Was that all? Did you want to say something else? Pretty much it? Okay. Thank you so much for your hard work, and we'll have it displayed proudly, and we thank the Historical Society as well for sort of co-sponsoring this. Okay, that will take us to item number 6, which is agenda review. Move that all resolutions and ordinances presented tonight be read in title only, and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. That takes us to item number 7, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to come forward and comment on items that are not on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking formal action on matters that are not published on the agenda. We would ask you to hold your comments to 3 minutes or less and direct your comments to the council as a whole. Any member of the audience that would like to come forward? Okay, seeing none, we will close community comments and suggestions. That takes us to item 8, which is our consent agenda. This is a group of items that we normally approve in one action. Council has had an opportunity to review these items, and unless there is an item on the consent agenda that any member of council would like to remove for further discussion or clarification, we will this evening approve them in one action as well. What is the will of the council?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to pull 8I for a question, please.
Okay, 8I. Any others?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to pull 8F for a question also.
Okay. Others? Okay. We are going to pull 8I and 8F. And I understand from the city manager that there may be some members of the audience this evening that have some public comment on any consent item. If that is the case, if there are members of the audience that would like to come forward and comment on a consent item, 8A through 8K, this would be an opportunity for you to do so.
members of the council. My name is Robert Mack. I reside at 576 Woodland Drive here in Arroyo Grande. And I would like to discuss with you item 8I, tract map 2505, approval on your agenda this evening. I am one of 31 property owners located in the Brambles portion of the Berry Gardens subdivision. I'm not here representing the Berry Gardens owners as a whole or their homeowners association. I represent only three of the 31 properties in that subdivision. The Brambles homeowners are going to be directly affected by the map, tract map 2505 approval here this evening. There are only 31 homes in this Brambles section, yet at the present time, the Brambles homeowners have 100%, so that one little group of homeowners pays the bill for the entire subdivision. Now you are proposing to aggravate this problem by connecting an additional 47 new homes in Tract 2505 to the Brambles drainage basin without the written permission of the Brambles homeowners or their homeowners association. My question is, how can this be? How will Tract 2505 be served if the Brambles owners do not authorize an agreement with S&S and the city to allow more storm waters into the Brambles Basin? It seems that an agreement must be reached with the Brambles Homeowners Association first, or an alternative plan should be identified before the City Council authorizes new homes with no approved stormwater plan or facilities for 47 new Arroyo Grande residents. As I said, I make no pretense of representing the Homeowners Association at this meeting. I represent only three of the properties in the association. And so even though I know that the city is working diligently and earnestly towards a resolution of this problem, and I commend the city for that effort. But the question still remains, if that effort to create a larger maintenance base for the basin falls through and does not come about, how will you serve 47 new additional homes without the approval of the Brambles 31 homeowners?
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else that might have comments on 8A through 8K on this evening's agenda?
Hello, my name is Brandon Stevenson, and I am with the No on Proposition 68 campaign. And I just wanted to say thank you to the council, and even though I don't know what he looks like, Chief DePorch, for taking up this resolution in opposition to Prop 68. That's it.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. My name is John Mack, no relation to Mr. Bob Mack, the architect for the 47 homes. When the conditions got approved for that project, we're also going to be participating in the maintenance of that retention basin. So when we begin our participation, we're going to exceed more than 50% of the share of that basin. Also, S&S is in agreement that we had begun doing a study, an area benefit study of what this basin is going to benefit, who it's going to benefit to form a maintenance district. So I'm just kind of hoping that we can give some kind of relief to Mr. Mack and letting him know that that is happening. And he will not be, his 31 homes will not be the sole provider of the maintenance of that basin. But it has been had quoted that the 31 was bearing. So we're looking at this being fair for everybody and not just a burden on 31 homes.
Well, this may pose a problem for me because I live in the Berry Gardens tract. So I need to get some clarification from you before I participate in this matter further. Distance-wise, I don't have an issue in terms of a conflict, but if this item is starting to turn towards a homeowners association fee that is going to be applied throughout the Berry Gardens tract, I'm going to have to step down on this item.
I'm not saying that, and the planning director can give more information on that. Right now, that what is on the table is that the 47 homes will be participating, and they are conditioned to participate to help. We are doing a study to see who else benefits and at what rate their benefit would be, if any. And maybe Mr. Rob Strong can clarify that.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. So you wait until I have the gavel up, and then other people get up. So.
My name is Pam Denny. I'm in-house counsel for S&S Homes, and I thought I would just add to what John just said for your clarification and conflict of interest. Current CC&Rs that have been drafted and approved by city staff has in it that Jasmine Place homeowners will pay their proportionate share to the Brambles Homeowners Association. That is set, that is current, that is our condition of approval. Those particular CC&Rs are now at the DRE. If, in fact, a maintenance district is approved and becomes in formation, that will take place at a later time. So currently before us is the conditions of approval, so I don't believe you would have a conflict of interest at this point.
Okay. Everybody get that? Okay, good. All right. Any other public comment? No other takers. We will close public comment. I'll come back to the council with a request for a motion to approve items 8A through 8K, with the exception of 8F and 8I.
So moved, Mr. Mayor. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Something to read in there, Tim?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Reynolds?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Lubin?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. All right, let's start with 8F. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And this is a fairly simple question, and I'm sure staff can answer it quickly, and I should have asked it earlier. But we're going to be rejecting all the bids for the microsurfacing project. And a question I have is, are the bids too high, or are expectations too low, or is it some sort of combination of the two?
Are you referring to the engineer's estimate versus the actual construction
right.
bid?
Yes, I am. Double the engineer. Our engineer's estimate was $75,000, and the lowest bid was more than double that.
Mm-hmm. Road to Cortland going to be closed. I think that we've conditioned it for so long that a couple of months, a month or so ago.
Yes.
Any idea when they're going to have it open?
I believe at the end of the month. Or John, do you have additional information on that? I believe the original approval was for 45 days and was due somewhere around the end of this month, beginning of next month.
Yeah, towards the end of this month, it's going to be open prior to the start of school, and we're going to allow for pedestrian circulation back through to the bus stops. But as you can tell right now, it's all torn up, and we have utilities being dug in right now.
How about traffic-wise?
Traffic-wise, it's very possible that it could be open by the end of the month.
Thank you. And with that, Mr. Mayor, I'd move for adoption of 8I and F.
Second.
Okay. Discussion.
If I could ask staff during the public comment, of course, I've got some curiosity questions as to the drainage basin, and if I could get a little history as to why The entire Berry Gardens complex is not part of this particular drainage basin, and it's only the Brambles at this particular time. Is not that particular drainage basin being utilized by all of the Berry Gardens subdivision? And if I could get a little background as to what happened there, as to why aren't there other participants?
I'll give at least a brief answer. The original concept within the Berry Gardens specific plan was the creation of a maintenance district, including all of the Berry Gardens specific plan areas, exclusive of the commercial portion, which would be the frontage on Grand Avenue. The tract itself was then processed by the developer who pursued the specific plan and then acquired by S&S. And in the phasing and development of the Berry Garden subdivision, there are 150 single-family homes, 31 patio homes. The basin was designed to serve all of those areas, plus a adjacent area owned by a different property owner, which was a 9-lot subdivision now being pursued by Little and Palmer, which was the former Matsumoto Day property. S&S also acquired what was then the Toma property, a sub-area of Berry Gardens, which is now Jasmine Place. In the creation of a maintenance entity, the only homeowners association established at the time of the Berry Garden subdivision was the Brambles. There is no single-family homeowners association, and there will be none. However, a maintenance district could have been attempted earlier. It was not. And when we discovered that the Brambles Association is not only the owner of the real agreed to participate and are required to by conditions of approval, so the creation of the proposed maintenance district is actually being requested by a majority of the anticipated benefit area assessees, if you will. However, the maintenance district still requires this legal procedure. So we are in the process of meeting with the Brambles president, Sidney Knowlton, the Brambles attorney, and the property manager to establish the initial process of creating the district. We will hold a protest hearing. The petitions of S&S for representing the Jasmine Place and of Little and Day representing the 9 lots will constitute a majority along with the Brambles. We will also notify all of the 150 single-family homeowners within the remainder of the Berry Gardens area that it was intended that their properties be included. And we've estimated that the single-family homes would be assessed approximately $5 a month based upon the number of lots and the proportional lot coverage, and that the PUD and patio homes would be assessed a maximum of $10. This is obviously subject to formation of a district and the appropriate engineering and the hearing of protest establishing the boundaries and the benefits. That's about as short an answer as I can give you. It's a very complex creation, but it is in process.
I can clarify that. Do it really short. A mistake was made, and it's being fixed. And it's worth noting that S&S is going to pay the cost of the assessment election. So what we're trying to say is the costs ultimately, it is hoped, will be spread across all the affected properties based on the benefit they receive from the detention basin.
Thank you. That's what I needed to hear.
Anything else? I forgot where we left off. I think we have a motion. We've had discussion. We have a second. We've had adequate clarification, I think, and response from staff. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Reynolds.
Yes.
Councilmember Costello.
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lubin.
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara.
Yes, thank you. Takes us to item 9, public hearings. We have none this evening. Item 10, continued business. We have none as well. Item 11, new business, consideration of an agreement to contract for phase 2 of a retail trade area determination study and community retail ID program. Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and members of the Council and Board of Directors of the Redevelopment Agency. In January 2004, the Redevelopment Agency contracted with the Buxton Company to prepare phase one of a retail area retail trade area determination study, jointly with the City of Grover Beach. Phase one of that study primarily includes the overall analysis and the general information regarding trade area traffic and trade area data with location criteria for major retailers and establish a list of feasible retailers to attract to targeted sites. The consultant will also prepare a number of marketing packets that would be distributed to retailers on that list that we identify as the highest priority. Therefore, the results of phase one have been positive, but the real benefits of the program are derived from the work under phase two of the program. The cost of the phase two study is $40,000, but since we're proposing to continue to coordinate the effort with Grover Beach, the actual cost to the city would be $20,000, and we're recommending that be paid through a combination of community development and redevelopment agency professional services funds, and it can be funded within our existing budget. With that, at this time, I would like to introduce Patricia Bell from the Buxton Company, who's here to make a brief presentation on the results of phase one and answer any questions that you have. And then staff respectfully recommends the City Council and Redevelopment Agency Board of Directors authorize the City Manager and Executive Director to enter into a contract with Buxton Company for phase two of the study.
Okay, thank you.
That? Okay. All right. Thank you very much for having me here this evening. It is my pleasure to be here. And as Steve has alluded to, I will be giving a brief recap on phase one, Buxton's findings of a study that we performed jointly for the cities of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach on the site of Oak Park Boulevard and Grand Avenue. Now, I know that you have copies of the study. The study is quite lengthy in phase one, so what I thought I would do is just recap briefly some of the highlights of the study and give you the reasons why the findings were very positive and answer any questions that you might have. Basically, just as a reminder, phase one is intended to measure the ability of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach in their potential to recruit new retail, including restaurants, to the retail site and trade area that we studied. We analyzed the retail site using methodology that thousands of retailers would utilize. Should we find during the course of our study that there's sufficient potential to attract new retail, then we would, of course, recommend that you move to phase two. As Steve has alluded to, in phase two, we are able to then match actual retailers based on the findings that we are able to study in phase two. We will actually match retailers to your site. In phase one, we basically asked the question, does this community or does this retail site have the ability to attract new retail? We take a look at the retail trade area that is given to us. We use a methodology that does not use concentric rings or mileage. We use drive time technology, which is something that retailers recognize. In the case of this particular site, we analyzed a 10-minute drive time around the site at Oak Park and Grand. Percentages that we studied in this area, we feel that it's a very favorable study for that particular site.
One thing I don't know if you, I can't remember if you mentioned it, it's important to point out this is the trade area data, and that's why the population data is quite a bit different from the data and population growth within the city.
That's correct. Trade area does not stop at city boundaries. It takes into account geographic barriers as well as positive influences on people's ability to drive to a particular area. Basically, what we do in the trade area is we look at segmentation. Again, this is something that retailers are very familiar with, and this is what they tend to base their judgments on an area on. We look at the segmentation, and we know that all of the U.S. households fall into one out of 50 segments. So we will measure the dominant segments in the trade area, and we will map out which segments are most dominant. In your case, and you can reference your actual study, the copies that you have, your dominant segments are segment 4, segment 10, segment 15, segment 16, segment 18, segment 20, segment 23, and segment 39. What that really means is that I'm trying to find the slide that shows that. Those particular segments, you have 8 dominant segments, which is a very strong profile for a retail site. There is no average or typical, as every retail site is different, but I can tell you that 8 dominant segments is a profile that could be very attractive to retailers. When you look at the graph up here, it's numbered from 1 to 50. On your left-hand side, the lower the number, the higher the affluence of that particular segment. So it is always desirable to have a higher percentage of dominant segments in the middle to the left-hand side of the graph. In your case, you have quite a few segments in the middle to left-hand side, in the middle income to upper level and affluent income levels. We also did a tourism profile for this area, and if you look at this graph, you'll see that the blue line represents the tourism profile of people who are visiting this area, with the yellow bars representing the actual trade area that we studied. And you can see that in most areas where the blue line peaks, the yellow bars are also peaking, meaning that they're very similar profiles. The good news is with your tourism profile that you actually peak in several very affluent areas that the trade area itself didn't represent. So, for instance, you peak very highly in segment 1, as well as in segments 13 through 15 and segment 10. Those are all fairly affluent segments of the buying population. Just brief overview. I'm just going to tick off a couple of the highest segments that we studied. Segment 4, we know that those people live in suburban areas. They own their own homes. They're likely to obtain financial services online. They read news and travel magazines, and we actually index them in over 1,500 categories. That's just a brief highlight. What that means to a retailer is that we're able to index the behaviors of those type of people and tell a retailer how likely it is that a person in this trade area would, for instance, own racquetball equipment. They eat at Little Caesars. They order home delivery meals. They have a remodeled kitchen. As I already mentioned, your traffic counts are very strong in this area, between 18,600 to 21,630 vehicles per day. And we also took a look at the retail trade potential in this area, and we have determined that the retail trade potential for the area studied, again, given a 10-minute drive time around that central location of Oak Park and Grand, is roughly $855 million trade potential. Should be very attractive to retailers that we would look at in phase 2. So at this time, phase 1, being a very strong profile of this community and the trade area studied, Buxton does recommend that you undertake the phase 2 analysis. Again, that's kind of the meat and potatoes of the study. That's where we take your trade area and we match it to actual retailers based on the behaviors of the people who are living in this area. And that's really it in a nutshell. If you have any questions, I would like to open up for that.
Any questions at this time? Yes, Councilmember Costello.
Yes, one of the things that I see in a lot of the graphics you have throughout here are GLA. What's GLA?
Gross leasable area.
Gross leasable area. Okay.
That's a term that that retailers look at.
And if we were to decide to go forward with this, What does phase two actually, what does that really mean to us?
Well, as I said in closing, phase two is really the meat and the potatoes of the study. We take it in two phases for a reason. Occasionally, a phase one analysis will yield the data that is not favorable to a city. And in that case, we don't charge a flat fee to tell them, I'm sorry, but you don't really have healthy potential to recruit new retail to this area. So we move forward in phase two with the actual retail match packages, and those are marketing packages that are designed to assist the city in giving the retailers the demographics and the psychographics that we've discussed here today so that the retailers can see a realistic portrait of who you are and what you have to offer over and above traditional 10-year-old census data demographic type information. This is, you know, here we are, Royal Grande. This is our average. This is our population. Our average household income is X, and our average, property value is Y. Oftentimes, that doesn't paint a very detailed portrait of a city enough to get a retailer's attention.
Do you actually link us and put us in contact with specific merchandisers or retailers? Or?
Yes. That is the purpose of phase two. In the retail match packages that we develop in that phase, we actually give you the contact names, addresses. We send a letter on your behalf to each of those retailers explaining who we are, the study that we've undertaken on your behalf, and why the data is so favorable for them to take a look at your site. Many of those retailers know who we are because we have over 400 retail clients. On the other side of the Buxton Company, we deal directly with retail clients. Many of them know who we are, and they value the data that we're able to provide.
So you have a successful track record of matching communities similar to us with
over 3,500 retail and restaurant entities that we have profiled. We know what areas they locate in. We know what type of profiles they're looking for, and those are that's the way that we are taking that data and matching it to a particular city. So the answer is no, we do not limit it to only our clients.
Okay. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's a chart showing projected growth, and it shows approximately 15% from 1990 to 2000, and then a projection of a little over 15% from 2000 to 2008. Mm-hmm. Is the growth based on historical, or is it based on projects or future growth that has been determined?
Both. Both. It's based on historical data that we are able to access through national databases that we subscribe to, as well as data that we collect from the city during our phase one analysis. We do ask the city for information on housing starts and permits.
So in this situation, and you're looking at a specific trade area, so both cities would be involved in determining part of the trade area as to the growth potential. And I guess what I'm getting at is that you're actually projecting what I would perceive as faster growth than what we've had in the prior 10 years.
Keep in mind the trade area includes more than just Grover and Rio Grande. It includes the Mesa, and it goes out, you know, to the Mesa and Pismo and the whole surrounding area. Maybe I don't even just go all the way out
to Napomo in the south. Yes,
some of the more. Growth, more the areas that are experienced the higher rate of growth at this time in South County are in that trade area. So the data is significantly different than our own growth projections.
I guess I didn't anticipate that 10-minute drive would take us out that far.
Yeah, it apparently does.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. It would appear to me that with these numbers that we're looking at, this growth area would probably, to attract the right business, you would attract a high volume of traffic to go along with it for these businesses to be successful.
Well, again, we do measure the traffic counts at the retail site that we studied, and they're pretty healthy traffic counts. 21,000 on the high end is a healthy traffic count. Every retailer is going to have their own criteria, and since we do have such a large database, we will obviously be looking for retailers who would match your traffic count profile. We're not going to be looking at retailers who would in turn say to you, well, sorry, we only locate in, you know, along a freeway, and we require a minimum traffic count of 100,000 vehicles a day.
Thank you.
Any other comments, clarifications on the staff report or the presentation from Buxton? Okay. Hearing none, while this is not a public hearing, we do allow business items to open up for public comment. And if there is any member of the audience who would like to come forward and comment on this item, this would be an opportunity for you to do so.
Fred Bauer, 212. So that's it. Thank you.
Thanks. Might be a few people on your side there. As long as they have the low carb. Any other comments? Okay. Close public comment. Bring it back. Councilmember Dickens, why don't you start this off?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I certainly supported the first phase of this project, and I now support the second phase as well, because I truly believe that we need to have the appropriate data and the information necessary to really do the appropriate levels of redevelopment along Grand Avenue. I think one of the things that has stymied us in the past is not being able to entice retailers to come to this particular area because it's not directly on freeway access. And yet we all know that we think it has some great potential, but selling that, we really need to have the data, and I believe that that's here. I believe with these retail match packages, we're going to have some real benefits to actually identifying those particular retailers in and out, possibly, you know, or others. I'm sure there's many others that really we could benefit from. So I'm supportive of this. I think that the funding in which we are allocating it from the different fund sources are appropriate for this particular use, and I'd like to see us go on to the second phase.
Thank you. Councilmember Reynolds.
Well, the last time I had some doubts about whether we should do this, it would appear to me if we go forward with this and find out the retailers that are going to be involved in this or want to come to our cities to spend money and make money, that they're going to generate a certain amount of traffic in addition to what we already have. And so I think that's going to be something that we need to look at. Perhaps the people that we can attract are going to be a lot more traffic-friendly than what I think they're going to be, but I think that we've gone this far, and for the future, we better keep moving forward so that we have the right data to look at in the future. I can support it, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I too, agree. I think that this is well worth continuing to go forward. The amount of money we're talking about is really an investment in our future, and I think is well worth expending at this time. We have a lot of opportunities present. I think we just have to find the right people to match up to them. This is a great tool to do that, so I support this, and I think we should go forward.
Okay. Thanks. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can support this. I have no problems with it. I will echo the comment concerning traffic concerns. If we were fortunate enough to put all this together and phase two is completed and we sign a dozen contracts to bring major retailers in or new attractive outlets, we're going to have some significant issues which go along with all the rest of the issues we have with getting people off the Mesa and into the city. And so I think we're going to have to really be cognizant of what's going to happen with traffic and how traffic is going to be impacted by the improvement of this area. There's no doubt that we need to continue to move forward and improve.
It has certainly been one of my high priorities for the last few years. And the gateway segment, which I'm assuming we're focusing on, Grand from between Elm and Oak Park, and then as it moves into to Grover, there are two cautions that I'd like to throw out. One has already been mentioned, and that is that it's easy for us to sort of get romanced into what we qualify for in terms of meeting retail profiles. But what we need to be mindful of, as was mentioned by some of my colleagues, is a very important factor, and that is intensity of use. It's nice to focus on an In-N-Out or some other type of business. And don't misunderstand me. I mean, if you have to eat grease, In-N-Out is the best, as far as I'm concerned. But the trade-off is the traffic issue, and particularly the burden that it places on a confined traffic segment, circulation segment, which has been an issue for us here. We have very little means of mitigating concentrated, focused traffic problems, given our current circulation system. So I think we need to be mindful of intensity of use as we go out and begin to attract or put our information forth in front of potential retailers. The other caution that I want to mention is the whole concept of the trade area. And, you know, I don't mean to rake up the past, but this whole issue of a trade area, I think, needs to be put in perspective. And that perspective needs to be based in reality. In the past, we were informed that a particular trade area was valid. And as a result of that, you know, we got a regional shopping center with a big box store. And the assumption, one of the economic assumptions, was that within the given trade area, there would never be another big box store. In other words, no competition. And we're seeing right now in San Luis Obispo, and we're seeing perhaps farther down potential for the future in Napomo, for that trade area, that whole trade area premise to be invalidated. So I'm not saying that that's going to be the case here, but I want to make sure that as we move forward and we present a trade area, that it is concentrated and focused enough so that it's going to be primarily beneficial for the city of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach as we move forward. In other words, I would just as soon take our medicine now, but have this trade area be based in reality in terms of future projections, than to find out later that that perhaps some of those premises were false. So that would be my just admonishment to take care with regard to the trade area. Make it real. So,
may I respond to that?
Sure.
Mind if I respond to
No,
them?
Go right ahead.
I'd like to clarify a couple of things that Jude brought up. I'm not sure what you're referencing in the past in terms of trade area, but I can tell you that Lime is actually a fairly conservative trade area drive time. The ICSC standard is 8 minutes, and that is a standard set in a very urban setting like a Lancaster or a Paramount or a Los Angeles, where it's very dense and people will not drive more than 8 to 10 minutes to get to any particular store. So just to clarify, that's what a trade area is. When we're looking at it, we're simply saying, here's the center, Oak Park and Grand. What people will come from 10 minutes away from that center? Because anything beyond 10 minutes is probably pushing the envelope of convenience, and people won't drive that far. So just to clarify that. And then in terms of guarantees as far as big boxes locating here or there, perhaps the entity you dealt with made guarantees they shouldn't have. But the idea is for sales tax reasons, to want to have those entities in your city limits versus next door, you know, 5 miles down the road or what have you. Today's sales environment is very aggressive, and many big boxes will locate within miles of each other. They have their own methodologies and criteria. Target's a great example of that. There are 5 Targets in my hometown, 2 of which are on the same street and are maybe, as a crow flies, 3 miles from each other. So I wouldn't be deterred by the idea that you may have a big box that comes to your store or to your town today and maybe locates also in Napomo. If that does happen, then that particular retailer has made a determination that it will not cannibalize their consumer trade area, and it's not a threat to you. So I just wanted to clarify those two items.
Thanks. And just so I clarify where I'm coming from with this whole concept of the trade area, I'm not looking personally for another big box. I'm looking at this study to produce a profile for small business that will complement the small business community that we have here now. So I want to make that very clear from my own point of view. That's the reason why I favor moving to phase two with this, and we'll support it. And I'm happy for the clarification, the 10-minute drive time, and we'll let it go at that. Any other comments? Okay, if not, I'll entertain a motion on 11A.
Mr. Mayor, I'll take a swing at this. I move that the City Council Redevelopment Agency Board of Directors authorize the City Manager and Redevelopment Agency Executive Director to enter into an agreement with the Buxton Company to prepare phase two of a retail trade area determination study and community retail ID program.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Okay, hearing none, roll call.
Council Board Member Costello?
Yes.
Council Board Member Dickens?
Yes.
Council Board Member Runnels?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Lubin?
Yes.
And Mayor Chair Ferrara?
Yes, as well. Thank you. That takes us to 11B, consideration of a resolution extending hours for restricted parking. Orchard Avenue.
Council, what you have before you tonight, it's a consideration of a resolution extending the hours for restricted parking from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Orchard Avenue, West Cherry Avenue, California Street, Arroyo Avenue, and Pilgrim Way. A little bit of background is back in 1990, the City Council established a no parking except by city permit zone on these streets. The restricted parking zone was a result of complaints by residents living on these streets concerning congested parking by students from the Arroyo Grande High School during the normal school day. In order to alleviate the problems, a no parking except by city permit zone was established on these streets to operate from 6 a.m. to basically 3 p.m., and that basically handled the school day, you might say. This past spring, it was brought to the city's attention by residents in the area that students attending night classes at Cuesta College in the 900 wing of the high school located on Orchard Avenue were causing congested parking again on these streets. Now, this is a different student body. Cuesta is basically utilizing the 900 wing in the evening for classes. Based upon information we were receiving, the situation was routinely causing difficulty for guests of the residents and actual congestion in terms of driving through the neighborhood. At least two families living in the area approached City Council member regarding the situation, requested the hours of the restricted parking zone be extended so as to prohibit the Cuesta College students from attending these classes from parking on the adjacent residential streets. It was noted that there's sufficient parking for these students in the high school's main parking lot on Fair Oaks Avenue. However, this parking lot is about 150 yards from the 900 wing. At the April 13th council meeting, Council Member Reynolds requested, and the City Council concurred, to place the issue to be heard. Also asked that it be heard by the Traffic Commission. The Traffic Commission did hear the issue at its June 14th meeting and recommended that the City Council extend the restricted hours in the residential area. Since then, we have been attempting to contact residents in the area. To date, we've contacted about 21 households on those streets, mainly on Orchard, some on Arroyo, some on California. Of the 21, 20 were absolutely in favor of extending the hours. There was one household we talked to that was indifferent. The American Legion, though, did have a concern because they do hold nighttime programs at the Legion, and if we extended these hours, they would need upwards of around 200 permits, special permits for parking. I would prefer not to get into that particular business. Ryan Pinkerton, the principal of the high school, basically indicated he was in support of extending the parking restrictions. His main concern was parking for major events that would occur at the high school during the evening hours. We have not been able to get a hold of Cuesta College. And as of last Wednesday, when I submitted the report to the city manager, we had not gotten a hold of Cuesta. We still have not gotten a hold of Cuesta. They're not the easiest people to get a hold of during the summer months. So what we have brought to you for consideration is if you approve this, there would be, we've made a couple of effect on weekdays during the regular academic year, except designated school holidays, and that includes the Christmas recess and the spring recess. Additionally, under the authority that I have under Resolution 3456 that you approved a few years back, in making policies and procedures for enforcing parking regulations, I can exempt on a short-term basis the parking restrictions for special events such as back-to-school night. We already do it kind of with graduation, certain football games and things like that. Should you go forward with this tonight, the approximate cost is going to be $1,196 to the city for the signage, not including the cost for city personnel to install that signage. And with that, I'll be happy to entertain any questions you may have.
Okay. Questions or clarifications in the staff report? Councilmember Dickens.
Mr. Mayor, Rick, I've kind of expressed both to you and to Steve Adams some of my concern in regards to this particular recommendation. And I first want to make the statement that there's no doubt that there is significant impact on the neighborhood as a result of the Cuesta students. So it's not my comments, don't get me wrong, are not based on the fact that I don't believe there is a problem. But what I'd like to address is the impact of what will occur as a result of a potential action if this moves forward. So I have a couple questions. Typically, Rick, currently we have those streets are already restricted during the hours of 6 to 3. What is the typical policing that takes place? Is it during school hours? Do we usually have an officer go out and if there is folks that are parking in restricted areas, ticketing, is that on a typical basis or is it on a complaint basis?
No, on that it's a routine, as much as we can, a routine patrol. In fact, about a year and a half ago, I started a pilot program, which we're still continuing to use, so maybe it's gone beyond the pilot stage, where I took one of my reserve officer positions. I actually hired a non-sworn individual as kind of a part-time parking enforcement person, and they patrol that area as well as some of the other restricted zones we have within the city. And so that is patrolled on a regular basis. Now, if this was extended into the evening, it would require the use of our sworn personnel because that parking person would not be on duty during the evening.
And do you perceive that being done on a fairly regular basis then?
It could be done on a fairly regular basis, but I couldn't guarantee it would be each and every day.
Correct. And when that happens, because I noticed that in here there's been occasions, and I know there has been, where, let's, for instance, there is an individual parking and actually obstructing someone's driveway, that type of thing. When that's, let's hypothetically say that's brought to the police department's attention by the resident and they came out, they would seem to go even further into the evening because as I look through the fall catalog for Cuesta, they actually have South County classes at the 900 wing at Arroyo Grande High School all the way up to 10 o'clock at night. Was there any discussion about that, and why are we looking at just going till
7?
Seven.
Because by 7 o'clock, everybody should be in class, and we weren't worried about an onslaught of people coming in and parking after that time. Most of the classes start between 6 and 7, so they would already be in class. If they showed up after 7, they're late to class, and, yeah, they might get a free pass.
Okay. I understand. I have some other recommendations down the road, but those answer my question. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes. Rick, isn't it possible that on the west side of the 900 wing. They keep that fenced in, and the gates are always closed there. And the possibility that those gates could be open and people could park there for the duration of the school evening?
I would imagine it's possible. It's not something that's within my purview. In fact, one of the things that Councilman Dickens and I discussed briefly before the meeting is the possibility of getting Questa to look at some alternative parking arrangements off on that side, either the church or maybe possibly some of the other school parking area, some of the administration parking area. There could be some other alternatives, but again, that would be up to Questa to make that, to initiate that action.
Because I know over a period of time when they had the classes on the Valley Road side, well, basically we had the same problem there. They were parked every place, all over the place, and in driveways and in the fields and whatnot. The only difference was I was the only neighbor around there, so it didn't bother anybody. And when I was home, well, everybody was safe. But I know that there's some people that have company come and they don't have a place to park. And some guys, when they get home at 5 o'clock or 5:30, if the Questa people are already parked there, well, then they've got to go hunt for a place to park. And so the school has always generated a large parking problem, and they haven't been too willing to fix it, as far as I'm concerned, on their own. So maybe this is just going to be a way to nudge it along.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
I had a couple questions, Rick. If you change the times up to 7 o'clock, everywhere except for in front of the American Legion, and actually it goes down to the 425, 428. Mm-hmm. Now, isn't that kind of like squeezing a balloon at one end and it goes into the other end? Would people start moving up towards the American Legion to park where it's not restricted after 3?
It's very possible that could happen. It was something we were going to try, and if it became that problem, then we would obviously be back with you, and I'd issue the 200 passes to the American Legion.
Okay. And the other question, just for my knowledge, you made a comment that for special events, graduation, football games, et cetera, you have an exemption. How do you
let forthcoming from the audience, this would be an opportunity for you to do so.
My name is Herman Olave. I live at 222 West Cherry. And I do have a few concerns about the parking. My first concern is the Legion Hall. Now, the Legion, they've been good neighbors, and they have a lot of good groups that meet there. And now it was mentioned that they needed 200 parking permits, but the most I've ever seen there is 15 to 25 cars at the most. And but they cooperate very good with the neighborhood. Now, another concern that I have is with the school. Now, they've kind of battled us all along. My wife and I were the originally got the streets posted. But now, this about 6-7 months ago, they started bringing their garbage cans out and putting them on the street there on West Cherry, taking up 3 parking places. They bring them out on Mondays, and they're not taken back until Wednesdays. And they're occupying 3 parking places there. And then as far as posting the streets to 7 o'clock, I think that's a good idea. Most of the neighbors that I've talked to feel that it's the all right. But then we do have a few contractors in the neighborhood that are taking advantage. Some of them have 4 or 5 vehicles that they use in their business that they park in the street. Some of them are left there during the day. Now, for instance, there's a backhoe device parked in California Street. It's been there for 5 days now, taking up a parking place. And then we do have some motorhomes and contractors' trailers that they park and leave over the extended. Now, but getting back to the school, Cuesta College, that they seem to feel that they got to get there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon for some reason. They park, and then by 5:30, they're double parking and parking into the crosswalk. I've had the occasion to call the police department 3 different times where they were parked blocking the crosswalks and making a dangerous situation for trees, making a cars making a right-hand turn. So I appreciate everything that the chief and Councilman Reynolds have taken this up, and I hope you go along with passing this.
Thank you, Mr. Olave. Anyone else? Okay, see. Okay.
Was San Luis Obispo not notified by the decency of a phone call from a Rio Grande City Council or the city manager or their police department? In letter, not only have they not notified Cuesta or the San Juan Unified School District of this action tonight, I was notified today by Councilmember Dickens about 4 o'clock. And apparently he wasn't able to notify me sooner than that because his packet was, it was given, he saw it in his packet this afternoon. So not only, so somehow the notification hasn't been done in due diligence. We're asking for an extension of this before you make an action. Both the Sherman School District and Cuesta College would like to make a formal response to this action with a formal reply. We have things established in the Ed Code already that we've been using that do address this issue. Of record, I have had 2 neighbors who have come directly to us, who have notified us of situations, and we have removed cars. We have called the police. We have made contact with our students. We give them a choice of either move it or we have it towed. We have a zero tolerance as well. We have done this in-house. It's worked well up to tonight. This is the first time I've heard of a problem beyond the capabilities of our own monitoring. The other consideration is I can understand the posting on the residential side, but the posting is also on the school side. And that doesn't make any much sense to us at all. If it's a school sidewalk and it's school parking, why would you have posting on that side? You're basically taking away any available parking for us whatsoever. Remember, we were put on that 900 site in response to the Shamar Unified School District. Prior to that, we were always on, we had, since 1965, we were on the Valley Road side of campus. The Shamar Unified wanted us to put a campus filling on the 900 site. So we were put there for a reason. The 4-7 slot was in response to the request by the Shamar Unified School District to provide classes for their students. So the people you'll be targeting are Rio Grande High School students, the least of whom can afford a $30 ticket. We waive tuition for those students to attend college. We've done so repeatedly. No one has notified us of these changes. It's difficult for this to go in place because we start next week into our semester. We don't have time to notify our students. We would like to work with the city, but we're asking that we come to the table and we're allowed the chance to hear the formal complaints by the chief, and we'd rather do that in a joint committee with the Sherman and with our district, because there are contractual obligations on behalf of the Sherman School District that provides an adequate amount of parking for us. To change that contract now in midstream would be difficult for both my staff and faculty of the Sierra Maya Unified School District. It's not uncommon in the spring for a vast majority of those early time slots to be used by regular high school advanced placement classes. Those are the ones that do a lot of parking and use up our parking spaces. We have consistently reduced the number of classes that we have in the 4-7 slot. If I was given an adequate time, I could show you the graphing in which we have, to eliminate the parking structure, have moved our classes to the 7-10 slot and not the 4-7. We have made attempts, and we'd like to document those attempts for the council's purview before we make this decision. So we're asking that you would give us adequate time to respond.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. And Councilmember Costello, why don't you start this one?
Thank you. I think that it's apparent we have a problem here. We have several problems. I'm very familiar with the kinds of problems that can come with school usage and college usage of facilities and their impacts on neighborhoods. I see a couple of different things here. One, I think that it might be worthwhile to postpone this and allow the school district, Cuesta, and the city to sit down and see if we can't come to some sort of accommodations here. It may still be necessary to restrict the parking further and go with the measure that's been proposed tonight. But I think that it sounds to me like it's worth waiting and putting this off to at least see if we can't work out some sort of some of the wrinkles before we do this. As far as the American Legion's problem, I can sympathize with that. But as Sandy said, it's like squeezing a balloon. I think if we don't restrict the parking there, we're going to find that the people are going to end up parking down there in front of that to take advantage of the no restrictions there. So I think I can I would suggest and recommend that we probably put this off and have a chance to discuss this a little bit more.
Do you want to respond, Rick?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I agree. Number one, I'm sorry we didn't make some attempts. I had an officer assigned to this who happened to be the former school resource officer. And yes, we did talk to Lucy in our Unified School District, Ryan Pinkerton, the principal. But I'm not going to debate you. I'm just telling you what we did. That being said, I'm glad he's here because I think we should get together and sit down and work this out. And I would recommend we continue this because possibly into the first meeting of next month, that'll give us enough time to sit down, work this out, and maybe look at some alternatives.
Is that amenable to the council?
I got a comment, if I may, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
You know, I can go along with what Mr. Leon said about parking here and parking there, but I can guarantee you that on Fair Oaks Avenue, before you moved over to the 900 wing, your students and every other student parked where it said no parking at any time on both sides of Valley Road. They have no regard for what a park.
Amending through that process. Anyone else have any issues with following the chief's recommendation on this?
Mr. Mayor, I don't have any issues. I'm in total agreement that we need to continue this because I think there can be some positive solutions. I I do echo some of the concerns that Councilmember Reynolds is certainly voicing, but I do also believe that there has been some changes that need to be looked at, and I think one of those is this will be the first year that we've made a total transition of all the students going to Napomo. So the high school is actually going to be the numbers at Arroyo Grande High School. The student numbers are over 1,100 to 1,200 students less than we had 3 years ago. So we're seeing some significant changes. And I think the impacts on the community is going to, during the school day, should hopefully be lessened, and we'll be able to accommodate all of our students now on the designated on-site parking within Arroyo Grande High School. I think there has been some probably oversight on, again, I'm not speaking for Lucia Marr Unified School District, but I believe there's been some oversight in regards to the lack of parking on the 900 side. But when I saw this, I'm looking at, you know, the anywhere from 120 to 200 students that are going to be signing up for classes that begin next week, that there is really not adequate parking over there if we were to take that away. And knowing young people the way I do, they don't really plan very well. Their time management's not good, so they're driving up 2 minutes before class. They're finding a spot, and sometimes it's not a great spot. I'm not giving them a license to do that. They need to learn good time management, but unfortunately, our young people need to learn those things. And to have a $30 ticket when they get out is going to be something I think that maybe if we could provide some other alternatives, whether it's the Assembly of God Church, I don't know, whether we put out a flyer to the students the first day of school and request that they go down to maybe the administration, Lucia Marr Unified School District, and utilize those parking. We could even request that they go to the main parking lot at Arroyo Grande High School, possibly. It's about a five-minute walk, I believe. It's a distance. But we need to do something. The other thing that I think that from what I understand today, and I think we need to have discussions with Lucia Marr, part of their master plan in regards to the new bond is to actually relocate Cuesta, this South County Center, to the main part of campus, not on Valley Road, but I believe it's going to be, I believe it's my understanding that it's going to be part of the new master plan to revitalize redo the high school. And so that is planned to start next year. So we're looking at possibly a one-year time frame, maybe a two-year as things go, but 1 year. And I'm just concerned that we need to maybe look at some other options. So those are just, I'm in a total agreement to continue to see if we can put our heads together.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Well, I might as well throw my two cents in.
I guess so.
We're going to have some pretty unhappy homeowners in that area just because of the pure volume of what's going to go on over the school startage. And I think it would be terrific to ask the students to park someplace else. But, we all know that's just not going to happen on a volunteer basis. They're going to go for the closest and the quickest thing they can do. So I hope you can work something out. I think you should bring it back as soon as possible.
Mr. Mayor, I'd ask, is it possible, are there any measures, if we do take this one-month extension and bring this item back in a month, are there any measures that you can take between now and then to try to minimize the problem that we're going to see until then? Yes, if you could, please.
I think that's one of the reasons that we're going to put them together to try and work some of those things through.
But I'm saying, even before that, are there interim measures that you can do so that this will not impact the neighborhood as greatly as it might otherwise?
Just briefly, as you know, our California governor has just within a matter of weeks approved the budget. We have in place a secondary plan, which was we doubled our staffing. Part of one of my job descriptions is to monitor the parking. We lost personnel. As of tonight, as of 40 minutes ago, I just doubled it. It was in response to several issues, parking being one of them. So the monitoring does, and we do that in-house. We've been doing that for a number of years now. What we also do is we keep track of the license plate of any offender who we've identified in terms of parking. There are guidelines within the EDCO which allow us to take disciplinary action.
I guess what I'm asking is, if, for example, the first week of class, if all of your instructors can tell people park in these certain areas, don't
we do that? Historically, we go in there.
Anything
classroom
that you can do between
in
now
each and every
and meeting
classroom
would be appreciated.
Thank you,
Mr. Mayor. I can support postponing this, continuing this issue to the first meeting in September the 14th.
Thank you. I think we've already examined this thing thoroughly. We clearly have an issue here, and we've always sort of approached this in these kinds of community-based issues in a progressive way. So I concur with the Mayor Pro Tem. You know, we may well wind up back here in a month, but we have an opportunity during that month to take a progressive approach and see if there are some other mitigating measures that can fix the problem before we go to this eventuality, if that's what it turns out to be. The only comment I would have to make with regard to some of the statements that Councilmember Dickens made is that having two teenagers myself, sometimes a $30 ticket is a great motivator for learning the principles of time management. But you know, that's at the other end of the spectrum. About some other kind of a mitigation plan, and if so, that would sort of shape what you're going to bring back to us. So do we want to give it time to work?
Well, whatever the plan's going to be, we're going to look at some alternatives. I think there's still going to have to be, in order to reinforce that plan, some type of regulations. But I think the issue is, and I think the concern is that we don't put the regulations into effect until we have set up the mitigation measures. And that will give us time, I think. Like I said, I think we can work that out within 4 weeks. Possibly, if we come to an agreement, I could have a consent item on that meeting for you, and you could adopt it.
Okay. We'll come back to the motion maker.
Mr. Mayor, I would make a change in my motion that this item be continued to a date uncertain to be brought back as soon as possible.
No later than the second meeting in September.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and we have a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Lubin?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Runnels?
I don't think it's going to make a change, but I'll vote yes.
Okay. Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. Takes us to item 12, city council member items. We have none indicated. 13, city manager items. None, Steve?
None.
Council communication. Any items of communication? Okay, hearing none.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a clarification. This morning on KVEC, while dealing with the media and talking about tonight's meeting, I inadvertently and incorrectly identified the bank that's being located on Cortland and Grand as not the Santa Lucia Bank, and I do apologize to the Santa Lucia Bank and the members of the community, and look forward to that bank being completed and being a valuable part of our community. My apologies.
For shame. Okay. Any other council communication? All right. Takes us to staff communication. Anything, Steve?
No, sir.
All right. Item 16, our final community comments and suggestions, an opportunity for any member of the public to come forward, comment on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not. Seeing none, we will close that, and motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.